It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage, back after 3 weeks of indica into couch, starting on 420. So that's the way it works, folks. Speaking of which, 630 texter, listening from Lombard in bed, recovering from hernia surgery and baking. Boy, yeah, I had that. I feel for you, 630 texter. It does get easier. You may have two belly buttons by the time you get done. And they probably shaved all parts of your body. It looked like a Jackson Pollock thing, but it all grows back. I'm going to the guest hotline again, presented by Circus Sports Illinois, and welcoming back to the show, Ricky O'Donnell. He is writer and editor for SB Nation, and here's why Ricky's joining me. He's always a joy. This is first the four-year anniversary of his national championship. For those of you late coming to this, Ricky, share with the class how you guided Western Illinois to a national championship.
Oh, God, I can't believe you're asking me about this. But it was my project during the pandemic. After I got furloughed from my job, I was playing an old video game, College Hoops 2K8, the last college basketball video game they made. And I decided to take the worst team in the game to do the recruiting and then just sort of like sim every game. And I streamed it on Twitch and some people followed along and I wrote it up. And it was kind of a silly little project I did during the pandemic, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, wait a minute. It's not a silly little thing. It made not only the score on Saturday Suckage, because Trash Panda, our producer, was following it religiously, being a leatherneck himself. And so he brought it to our attention, and we talked to you about it, and you won a championship. And didn't the Washington Post take notice of this?
Yeah, the Washington Post wrote a feature on it. So that's something that happened.
So that's why we bring out a man of this substance to the show. We're talking about the Bulls here, and there is an NBA lottery tomorrow. I don't know why it snuck up on me, but there's an NBA lottery tomorrow. And as I go to Tankathon, I see the Bulls sitting at 11th, and their chances of getting the number one overall pick are 2%, 2.0%, which is better than when they landed Derrick Rose. Their chances of landing in the top four are 9.4%. So as you assess this, what do you think? I don't know if you play Tankathon, if you record it, if you're running any kind of odds, trailers, series, how it's going to go. But I know that you've done breakdowns on players the Bulls might be able to draft, and that's what I want to get to. But where do you think, how do you think this goes?
Yeah, well, I think this is actually a pretty good draft to pick number 11, which is where the Bulls are currently slated. It's not a great draft to pick number one, because if you ask five different people about this draft class, you could get five different answers for who's the best overall player. And that's not what you want. Like last year, you know, everyone knew Wembanyama was the best player, the first pick. Even the worst front office in the league would have taken Wembanyama with the number one overall pick. This year, like I said, it's it could be, you know, maybe five or six different guys. So personally, I've had Nikola Topic, who's a guard from Serbia, is the number one player. He also injured his knee in January and hasn't looked quite as good since he came back a couple weeks ago. Alex Sarr is probably the player with the best long-term tools. He's a 7'1" big man out of France. I would say he's probably the front runner to go number one overall if the Bulls or any other team lands that pick. But, you know, the Bulls entering this lottery at number 11, I think that that's a pretty good spot for any team to draft in this one, in the late lottery. Somebody's going to fall. I think that, you know, if you have the 11th pick, there's not quite as much pressure to get it right. Which there would be if you have, you know, the number one or number two pick in this class. So I think the Bulls are in a pretty good position, and certainly the Bulls badly need young talent. They badly need to make this pick count, and, you know, hopefully they'll have some good options to choose from when they do eventually come on the clock.
My guest is Ricky O'Donnell. He is the writer and editor at SB Nation, and we're talking about the Bulls. And I've not been on since the Bulls ignominiously ended their season, and Arturis Karnišević vowed change. And this is a man who is either inept or inert, and maybe both. And we've not seen him be able to make changes, but he said there would be changes. Do you believe him? And what changes do you expect, do you think he should make?
Yeah, I thought that that was at least a good bit of like self-awareness from Arturas after the season, saying, obviously, this group doesn't work. Well, yeah, man, everyone else realized this a long time ago. So Arturas said, you know, the team needs to find a way to win 10 more games. I just don't think that's possible. This team is not really worth saving. With Nikola Vucevic locked up for 2 more years, his play is only going to continue to slip downhill. He was already not very good this year. Now you got DeRozan, the team's best player, entering unrestricted free agency. What type of deal they give him, or, you know, if they choose to re-sign him at all, is probably the biggest question of the offseason. I think the Bulls got to go the other way and just tear this thing down and rebuild. And you look at, you know, what's happening in these NBA playoffs, and it's not a lot of teams marching through the bracket with older players. It's, you know, a lot of guys who are in their 20s at the start of their career, leading their teams right now. So I don't see a way for the Bulls to like add veteran talent and to try to make this one of the better teams in the East. If I were them, I would be trading off pieces. I would be looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder as inspiration, a team that sold very high on some of their veteran players from a pretty good team, and it fueled their rebuild. They only had a tank for 2 seasons. I believe the Thunder only have 2 seasons in the last 15 years with under 40 wins. And you just look at their collection of young talent right now, it's a, you know, a, you could draw a direct line to tanking in a smart way, and then also selling high on some of their veterans to give them excess picks. In my opinion, Arturas already blew it on that. Like, he should have traded Caruso last year or the year before. Same thing with DeRozan. That would have been the best way to restock the war chest for future assets. That didn't happen. So he's already playing from behind because of the delusion he showed with this roster. But better late than never, I guess. And, you know, if there's ever a time to blow it up, I think it's now, especially with the team owing their 2025 draft pick to the San Antonio Spurs, if it's outside of the top 10.
Arturas Karnišev has rebuilt the Magic into a playoff team before he rebuilt the Bulls, and the Bulls are still not a playoff team. Oh, I'm sorry. They have one playoff victory since the Vooch trade. And meanwhile, the Magic, the team he rebuilt with the Vooch trade, has 3 playoff wins. And one of them was thanks to Franz, because Hans, the friends of Franz, and Franz Wagner was the guy who was just outstanding in helping the Magic win one of those playoff games. So he shown he can rebuild a team, by a young team, by having somebody else do something with his draft picks. What have you seen in the drafting and development of young players that are here, like Kobe White, or players who have drafted Io, that give you any hope, or maybe they don't give you hope, that he could develop, he could draft, he has the right people, the right plan to make the Bulls, heard on this very radio station, a team that gets into the playoffs young and hungry and talented?
You know what gives me hope, Steve? Gar Foreman drafted Jimmy Butler, and Gar Foreman was absolutely terrible in the draft with the rest of his picks. So sometimes you just get lucky, because Jimmy Butler is, I think, the 30th pick in the 2012 draft. That's an all-time great draft pick, honestly, by Gar Foreman. And the rest of his picks, Chandler Hutchison, Denzel Valentine, you go down the list, not that good. So sometimes you just got to spin the wheel in the draft, and you occasionally get lucky and luck into a young star. And I think that, you know, the Bulls with the 11th pick in this draft, if that's where they end up, that's probably the thing that gives me the most hope in the front office, because, you know, what we've seen out of their track record of drafting and development with Patrick Williams, with Dalen Terry, with Julian Phillips, you know, there's not a lot to be encouraged about. But in my opinion, it would be a better option to select a player with this draft pick than to try to trade it for a quick fix veteran, because to me, there's nothing on this roster really worth saving. If the Bulls want to really get the franchise on the right path, they need to invest internally in scouting, in development. You know, they finally hired a shooting coach this past year. Congrats, Bulls. You hired a shooting coach in year 7 of the rebuild after the Jimmy Butler trade. But look, it made a pretty big difference. Io shot better than ever. Kobe shot better than ever. Even DeMar DeRozan shot better than ever. So those are the type of moves you need to make in the infrastructure of the organization to try to maximize your chances of these guys hitting their potential. But to me, you know, they're going to have some good options on the board when they do draft, and you got to just take a guy and maybe hope you get lucky.
Ricky O'Donnell is my guest. SB Nation is the platform where you can read him. He writes and edits on that platform. So as we talk about the lottery tomorrow, is there a spot where wherever the with the talent in flux, with the order of the players and ranking them in such flux, and it seems more need-based draft than ever. You just pick the best guy there for a need you have, I guess. Is there a place the Bulls could land where you say, that's the one you can trade and make the most out of if they were going to do that with a pick that high?
Yeah, if they end up hitting the lottery and jump up into the top four, I think, you know, they could think about trading the pick. But to me, like, it's not worth trading the pick because this team isn't close enough to contention. The Bulls should absolutely not draft for fit when they do come on the clock with this draft. They should just draft for the best player available. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's 35 years old. You're drafting a 19-year-old. They're not going to be on the same timeline. Same thing with Nikola Vucevic. I think, obviously, what would help the Bulls would be an athletic big man who can stretch the floor. They certainly don't have that on the roster. But it's not really worth drafting for fit, in my opinion, just because, like, there's really not much on the Bulls worth saving right now. And the next good Bulls team, honestly, it's going to be pretty far down the line. So when you're drafting, you know, college freshmen or international 18-year-olds, I think you just got to take the best player available at whatever position they come at. A couple guys I like in this class, and I'll have a mock draft tomorrow at SB Nation as soon as the lottery order gets finalized. I've already pre-written it. But I think Isaiah Collier is a pretty interesting pick for the Bulls, a point guard out of USC, really good at generating paint touches, getting into the teeth of the defense with a solid blend of scoring and playmaking. The question for him is his jump shot. He's not a very good shooter. Maybe that's an area you can develop him long term, and then, you know, he could be someone who could be a pretty good pick. I also really like Stephon Castle from UConn. He's someone who played a starring role for the Huskies on their march to the national championship this year. Sort of reminds me of like a Marcus Smart, Drew Holiday type, where he's not going to really be an on-ball star, but he's a very effective defender across multiple positions, a strength-based creator, can overpower guys at the rim, really good offensive rebounder, is a guard, and just to me seems like a good connective piece for when you do eventually get a superstar. You can try to, you know, maximize that guy's talent with him. And I also like Devin Carter, a guard out of Providence. He's the son of Anthony Carter, who was an NBA player in the 90s. He had a monster junior year for Providence this season. He was always a really good pest on-ball defender. And this past year, he really developed offensively. His three-point shot came around. He was shooting threes off the dribble. He looked really effective attacking the basket, too. So those are a few names I like who could be available around pick number 11 if the Bulls do select there after the lottery.
What if they draft a point guard? What do you do with Kobe, with Io? How does that affect their development? What do you, if you've got point guards rated at a spot where the Bulls could draft them, what does that do to guys we saw? Maybe the two best stories on the team this year.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Kobe can, what's great about Kobe is he can play on or off the ball, right? He's really effective sort of playing that shooting guard role where he can tap into his spot up shooting ability. He's the best floor spacer on the team. He's the best high volume 3-point shooter on the team. So that's kind of the nice thing about Kobe is sort of the malleability of his skill set. He's not someone who exclusively needs the ball in his hands to make an impact. You could put him next to, you know, another point guard, I think, and you could have a really good offense. You know, the question there would come defensively, because I think Kobe is, you know, sort of a weaker defensive guard still. Offensively, he's got a pretty complete skill set, but, you know, you got to worry about building a two-way team. You know, one of my favorite players in this class is Rob Dillingham, who was a point guard for Kentucky, a very thin guard who I would worry, like, how does he fit next to Kobe long term if the Bulls were to jump into the top four? But this guy, when I watch him, just reminds me of like Gen Z Allen Iverson. So shifty as a shot creator, so quick getting wherever he wants to on the floor, and just an incredible shooter off the dribble, off the catch, just a really electric offensive player. He's also only 6'2". He's very thin. He doesn't have long arms, so he's someone who I would worry about defensively. But I would look at a guard like Darius Garland in Cleveland, who's been a pretty good player for him. You know, not my favorite guy in the league, but Trae Young, another player who certainly put up huge numbers. Maybe if Trae Young's your best player, your team's not going to be very good. But as, you know, just like your best guard, perhaps next to a better big man, certainly he's a talented player too. So those are a couple guys who Rob Dillingham reminds me of. And I think it's an interesting question. Like, if point guard is the best player available, would you still take him? To me, you got to do it because the Bulls just aren't very close to being a good team. And to eventually become one, they're going to need to find a new star. And they don't really have that guy on the roster right now. So you got to draft for the best player available rather than fit.
But that guy has never looked at it that way. AK, he built one team, and for 30 games, it was wonderful. And then we found out that Lonzo Ball was Michael Jordan, and that everything falls apart without him. And I mean, that's really what happened. And they've never replaced him. He's never been able to replace him. AK has never pivoted, never been able to make. And sometimes he doubled down on it by re-signing Vooch when clearly this whole thing was falling apart. So the idea of him being in charge of this and looking at the guards, and this is where you are. And by the way, the thin guard, we could take into Portillo's and Malnati's, and we'll get some weight on. He won't be so thin. So how do you, given his track record of inertia, how do you expect that to come out of the draft?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think Bulls fans probably don't have much faith in Arturis to build a good team right now because the guy's just been kind of delusional since he came into power. I think he did build a pretty good team when Lonzo was healthy and all the pieces fit. But, you know, if a guy like Lonzo Ball, who is supposed to be their fourth best player, is sort of the skeleton key that makes the entire team work and they just fell apart without him, then how good was the team in the first place? Lonzo, obviously a totally unique, awesome player. I had been tracking him since he was a high school player coming out of Chino Hills, California. And there's just really no one like him. You know, I would never compare another draft prospect to Lonzo Ball because he had such a unique and interesting skill set, I think. So I just think that this era of the team is cooked and they're just not very good. And, you know, DeMar DeRozan's 35 years old. You think he's going to get better? You think Vucevic is going to get better? It's not going to happen. And, you know, the Bulls need to tear this thing down, go the other way. Look at the teams that are winning in the playoffs right now. The Thunder are built around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Chet Holmgren, and Jalen Williams, all 25 years or younger. The Minnesota Timberwolves are built around a 22-year-old star in Anthony Edwards. Like LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, those guys are all at home right now. So I don't think it makes much sense for the Bulls to continue doubling down on this version of the roster. I think they got to go the other way, especially with the 2025 protected draft pick already out the door. And that really starts with making the most of this pick. So to me, you take someone, do I have a lot of confidence in AK to pick the right guy? No, of course not. Why would I? But sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes Gar Forman drafts Jimmy Butler, and you go from there.
All right. And sometimes they draft with the 25th pick, the guard from Kentucky, the only guy from Kentucky who couldn't
Marquise
play basketball. Yeah, who couldn't play basketball. So last question, Ricky. The Bulls get lucky. They get the number one pick. Who do you pick?
Yeah, I'm taking Topic. Nikola Topic, a guard from Serbia, just like Nikola Jokic and Nikola Jovic. This is another Serbian player with a similar name. But I like Topic for a few reasons. He's 6'5". He is the best burst in the class as a lead ball handler. Nobody creates separation like this guy. He can just dust his defender off the dribble at will. Very skilled finisher at the rim, can finish with either hand, extension finishes. He's not someone who's like a big time vertical athlete. Like, he's not going to explode off the ground and dunk on your head, but he's really crafty as a finisher. And when you combine that with the speed, I really like his rim pressure, his interior scoring. And then you match that with his playmaking, and he's not like, I don't want to say he's like a Ja Morant, Trae Young level, like, incredible playmaker, but he's maybe a step below that. He's very skilled as a playmaker. He can hit the lob man for alley-oops. He can kick it to the corner for the shooters. So I like Topic. A little bit of a questionable jump shot. There's going to be questions about him on defense as well, but his shot creation and his burst going to the basket is, to me, something that looks like an NBA star. And in a draft without a consensus number one player, I think he's the best prospect in the class.
All right, Ricky, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for your insight. Knowledge is terrific. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining me today.
Yep.
Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, there you go. Maybe the Bulls really do need Stan Shanwald to sit at the lottery and smile when they mispronounce it, when they get the name wrong. But they get the pick right. That's when they got Derrick Rose. So going into the lottery tomorrow night, the Bulls have a 2% chance of getting the number one pick, 9.4% of getting the top four pick. So there you go. Bulls right here on this radio station. Same with the Cubs. Cubs on Paul Skeens Day, the Cubs will be the props. Everything leads you to believe they're going to be props for Paul Skeens' coronation. I don't know. Cody Bellinger has 1.154 OPS since coming back. I think he might have something to say to that young right-hander. All right, I'm going to take a break. When I come back, speaking of baseball, Garrett Crochet, OMG. Got to talk about him. And some other stuff that happened. And a new way to look at the White Sox scoreboard. I just want to bring it, throw it out there. This is Saturday Suckage. So, of course, we're going to talk about the White Sox. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. An hour from now, the Cubs pregame show on Paul Skeens Day. Just look around Major League, MLB, MLB app. It's all Paul Skeens Day. The Cubs are just props. I don't know. Jared Jones, who's a beast, Cubs hit enough. They also took advantage of Yasmani Grandal. Do you see that? Bellinger, first of all, he homers off Jones and then rips a double down the line. And Nico Hoerner coming around and, ooh, that was a bad send. And the Pirates had an excellent relay working. Just he was going to be hosed down and thrown to the plate. And Nico Hoerner is just barely turning the corner at third, and there he is. He's running right into the tag, and lo and behold, Yasmani Grandal drops the throw. Cubs get a run. White Sox fans, if you bother to watch Cubs highlights, undoubtedly were laughing. And is just, for all that Pittsburgh does, nice scouting. Really? So the choice is this. And remember, death is not an option. Yasmani Grandal, a catcher who can't catch, or Martin Maldonado, a hitter who can't hit. There's your White Sox choices. I mean, it's not just that the Sox make some really dumb decisions. It's that they stick to them and sometimes double down, which sounds like what AK does with the Bulls. And what could those two organizations have in common? I wonder. And Corey Lee homers last night. I don't know. I haven't seen the lineup today. I'm sure he's going to sit because Pedro Grifol just can't have so much offense. And you have to make sure that Martin Maldonado is in there not to hit for a team that needs hitting. They didn't need much yesterday because of Garrett Crochet. What a thing. He has allowed 17 runs. He had allowed 17 runs in 11 and two-thirds innings and three starts from April 13th to the 24th. In his last three outings, are you sitting down? He's allowed three runs in 17 innings. He dominated the Guardians last night in the Sox third straight win. Crochet's line, six innings, five hits, no runs, no walks, 11 Ks. That's a career high. 97 pitches, 72 for strikes. 34 were called strikes or whiffs. 34 on the 72 strikes were called or simply missed. And here's something else. If Garrett Crochet looked familiar to you, he now has 64 strikeouts this season, the most in a pitcher's first nine career starts in White Sox history, breaking the prior record set in 2012 by Chris Sale. Speaking of Sale, this list from the inimitable Jay Cuda contains lefty pitchers 6 foot six or taller who have games of zero runs, zero walks, and at least 10 strikeouts. Crochet joins Sale. Jordan Montgomery did it for Texas. CC Sabathia. Randy Johnson. Local guy, Mark Mulder. John Candelaria. Bob Veal, the old pirate. And Steve Hamilton of the Yankees. Okay, Crochet and the big unit for something accomplished, not just for size. That's nice company, kid. And he was talking about, Crochet was, seeking advice from teammates, trying to make adjustments when he talked about giving up, you know, 4,000 runs in two innings earlier in April. And he told the Tribune, at first I really didn't understand because I kind of had one plan. If I execute this plan, then things will go well. And then I had three starts in a row where it didn't go well. I was kind of lying to myself a little bit, saying some pitches were good pitches when they truly weren't. And I talked to Eric Fetty about it, about that a good bit. So Crochet went back to a start April 23rd in which Fetty did a good job of changing the eye level of batters on the way to 11 strikeouts against the Twins. Quote, I've always viewed myself as an east-west pitcher because of my sweeper. I've kind of got to play the east-west game, but something I feel like I had success in my last outing, and that was against the Cardinals, I was playing north-south and east-west. Crochet allowed one run on three hits with six strikeouts Sunday game against Los Cardinales. Quote, I had to give myself a bit more credit and realize there was a dimension to my game that I had yet to discover that I had yet to actually utilize. And that is I can locate the fastball down as well as the fastball up in the zone. There's something about him, as honest as his pitchers are, that's how honest he is. There's a guilelessness. Here's what I don't know. I'm finding out what I don't know. And I just think that's a tremendous sign. So many athletes are afraid to admit what they don't know. They'll scramble. They'll have to put on a front. And Garrett Crochet has seemed like a guy. This is what I was doing this wrong. I'm looking for help. I'm looking for advice. This is what I think I have. I just like the guilelessness in his quotes. And certainly the results have been there. So now they've won 5 of 7, and now they're going to win the Super Bowl. And they now hold the edge in the season series against the Guardians, who, like, the Guardians are actually trying to play winning baseball. The Sox aren't. And I thought, with what happened against the Cardinals, when the Sox go on the road, you're the Cardinals, the best fans in baseball, and you're the legendary Cardinals, and worst team, one of the worst teams in baseball comes in, and they take 2 out of 3 from you. The White Sox took 2 out of 3. How does no one get fired? And I was thinking of a White Sox scoreboard. How many managers or general managers they get fired because they go into town and they beat somebody? Or the team comes here and the White Sox, now, the White Sox won the season series against the Guardians. How does nobody get fired? White Sox shouldn't do that. The Central Division is actually good, except for the White Sox. The Central Division had 4 teams over 500 better. And the White Sox are beating the Guardians. That's like, shouldn't someone get fired? That's how bad the White Sox, I think, still are. Recently, a nice spate. When you see Eric Fetty doing what he's doing, which has been terrific, good enough to get traded, you're going to see all those guys. Paul DeJong, sure, he'll be traded. Somebody will need him, right? Isn't that the whole idea? That's why anybody, Logan's Run, anybody over the age of 30, you're dead. That's it. You're gone. That's what we got. So who knows? Maybe they could trade Eric Fetty for Jake Arrieta and Pedro Strop. That was a deal that worked out well. That's why you sign guys like this. And Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn homered. I'm going to repeat that for those in the back. Andrew Vaughn hit a home run last night. It was an act so shocking that it set off the Northern Lights. Just so you know, the rarity of it. So there you go. The White Sox with Garrett. Garrett Crochet, what a thing. What a thing. He gave you a reason. He was really the only reason coming into the season, the only reason to watch. And now you kind of got Corey Lee. But because they have a manager who does not appear to know how to manage, I would expect Martin Maldonado to get right back in there to make sure Corey Lee doesn't gather any momentum. But that would be the way I'd go. Chris Getz finally stopped lying when it was clear they needed to rebuild, and he wouldn't admit it was a rebuild. He wouldn't admit he was rebuilding. He used some euphemism for retooling. Retooling what? Reloading what? You guys have sucked. You can't play baseball. You're dumb on the bases. Your defense sucks. And you don't have plate discipline. So what is it you're reloading, actually? And then a couple weeks ago, he talked about, he actually used the word rebuild. Okay. Thank you for not lying to us, not continuing to lie. Maybe we'll believe some of this stuff going forward. And going forward, if you have a rebuild, Corey Lee should play a lot. Martin Maldonado should not. Corey Lee should learn how to handle pitchers by actually handling pitchers. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, a couple of things I want to talk about before I close the show, before Saturday Suckage comes to an end at the top of the hour. And one is the best thing I saw this week. Thought it was terrific. I want to bring it to you. And another is something I started the show with. I'm going to come back to it. Make sure you know. Make sure you hear me. And we'll go from there. This is Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Southside, stand up!
It's Saturday Suckage on 670, The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Last segment on Saturday Suckers. Thanks for joining me. The Cubs pregame show, Cubs Pirates Ball Skeens Day, as MLB is calling it. The Cubs as props for that game. They'll pregame show here on The Score will begin at 2:30. The subject of the Cubs and their version of a unhittable phenom, Shota Imanaga, was brought up with A.J. Pierzynski. He was on the Daily Tip of the BetQL network, and here's how the former White Sox catcher talked about the Cubs star left-hander.
Well, right now, he's obviously NL Rookie of the Year with mm-hmm. the way he's pitched, right? I mean, he has mm-hmm. that He's in the Cy Young conversation right now. And gosh, we talked about this guy so much on Foul Territory. And he was such a divisive player, right? Some guys were like, this guy's got a chance to be a one, like he's pitching like now. And then people were like, he might be a four or five. We just don't know yet. And so far he's been a one. Now, one time through the league, we'll see how it goes. But his fastball is special. And his fastball split combo, he throws the high fastball and he backs it up with a split down in the zone. He has been really, really good. He's kind of what everyone thought Yamamoto was going to be coming out of the gate. Now, Yamamoto has gotten much better as this first month has gone by. But, man, this guy, Shota Imanaga. And you know what the best part about Shota is? He's a character, man. Have you guys listened to any of his clips after he pitches and some of the quotes he's thrown out there? Like, he was in New York, and they're like, what'd you think of New York? And he says, well, I saw it on Spider-Man, so I know Spider-Man was here. Like, stuff like that is just awesome because it just brings people a personality. But this guy's got a chance to be really, really good from what I've seen. But I want to see once he faces a team twice, three times, mm-hmm. can he repeat this? Because eventually guys figure something out against
AJ Pierzynski on the Daily Tip, the bet part of the BetQL network. And you knew AJ would latch on to Imanaga's quirky, wonderful, embracing, funny personality. So there's that. Other Cubs pitching news. The Cubs placed right-hander Yency Almonte on the 15-day injured list, retroactive to May 8th, right shoulder strain, and recalled right-handed pitcher Jose Quas from AAA. Why?
No.
Why? Just no. Let Pete Crow Armstrong say, I've let him pitch. I mean, oh my God, this is awful. Okay, well, that's the news. That's the news there. And there was, what else was I going to do? There was something else that had another piece of, oh, right here in the score. Danny Parkins, congratulations. He won a Peter Lissigore Award for radio reporting on the Northwestern baseball team. Lissigore Awards were held last night. And Danny won the Radio Reporting Award. Congratulations. Won that. Co-authored a book that is getting a lot of play. It's all, everything is everything for Danny Parkins. A lot of hard work there. And congratulations to him. Score family recognizes you, Danny. Good job. The best thing I saw this week, I want to share with you. You've heard me talk about Big Ed's Barbecue up in Waukegan, the best burnt ends, me being the greatest burnt ends influencer in the nation, I would know this, the greatest burnt ends. And one of the biggest hearts, too. What happens when they chop meat is there, not everything makes it onto the sandwich or the plate or whatever it is. There's extras, there's trimmings. Or if you're in the South, they call it debris, especially in Louisiana. Debris, you order your plate, your sandwich. You want debris, and that's debris. That's what they call the trimmings, the leftovers. What Big Ed's does, saves all of it. Save all the trimmings. Saves all the debris. And they mix it in with their hamburger, their ground beef. And like that, you get some of the best hamburgers ever. But what they do on an annual basis, once a year, and it was last week, they package it up. Usually they just give it to, often they just give it to employees. Here you go. Here's 2 pounds of meat. Take this home. They had a lot. They had a big heart. To show you this, on Thanksgiving, they will offer Thanksgiving meals, complete Thanksgiving meals. You drive through. They usually do it through a church or some local outlet that can identify, has contact with needy families. So this time, Big Ed and company had so much extra trimmings and debris and meat, they gave them away to the community. It was supposed to start at 9 o'clock last Sunday. People lined up at 7 o'clock. They were there 2 hours early. I thought they were going to have to give out Cubs bracelets. And they gave out 240 pounds of ground beef mixed with trimmings to hopefully the needy and not the greedy. hopefully it went to families who needed it, could make use, who would appreciate it. Big Ed's. Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan. And they're moving now. Not far from where they are now, but it's a bigger space. They are, let's see, it's almost 2 o'clock, so they're probably out of burnt ends already. I'm hoping when they move to their bigger space, they will have burnt ends, enough room for burnt ends later. Me and Otter went up there this Wednesday, and it happened to be a catering day. They were making food for catering order of about 200 people. One thing on Big Ed's catering menu that is not on the regular menu is his fried chicken. You need to have stuff catered from Big Ed's just so you can order that fried chicken. It's unbelievable. And I also found out, if you bring him a turkey, he'll smoke it with the same seasonings, the same spices, the same way that he makes his fried chicken. So there you go. Big Ed's will give you a smoked turkey for those of you looking to plan for Thanksgiving. Big Ed's. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Go see your mom. Failing that, call your mom. Don't text. Call. Actually, FaceTime. Do all of that on days that aren't Mother's Day. Bring your mom flowers on days that aren't Mother's Day because she's still your mom, still and always. I haven't been a mother for a while, though I was called something similar by Chairman Reinsdorf, but I've learned this by watching, listening, and living with someone. Even when you're not thinking about her, mom is thinking about you, thinking and worrying and hoping and praying, still and always. Call your mom. Thank you for coming to my Steve Talk, and thank you for coming to Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
It.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Last segment on Saturday Suckage. Thanks for joining me. The Cubs pregame show, Cubs Pirates Ball Skeens Day, as MLB is calling it. The Cubs as props for that game. They'll pregame show here on The Score will begin at 2:30. The subject of the Cubs and their version of a unhittable phenom, Shota Imanaga, was brought up with A.J. Pierzynski. He was on the Daily Tip of the BetQL network, and here's how the former White Sox catcher talked about the Cubs star left-hander.
Well, right now, he's obviously NL Rookie of the Year with the way he's pitched, right? I mean, he has that. He's in the Cy Young conversation right now. And, gosh, we talked about this guy so much on Foul Territory, and he was such a divisive player, right? Some guys were like, this guy's got a chance to be a one, like he's pitching like now, and then people were like, he might be a 4 or 5. We just don't know yet. And so far, he's been a 1. Now, one time through the league, we'll see how it goes. But his fastball is special. His fastball split combo. He He throws the high fastball and he backs it up with a split down in the zone. He has been really, really good. He's kind of what everyone thought Yamamoto was going to be coming out of the gate. Now, Yamamoto has gotten much better as this first month has gone by. But, man, this guy, Shota Imanaga. And you know what the best part about Shota is? He's a character, man. Have you guys listened to any of his clips after he pitches and some of the quotes he's throwing out there? Like, he was in New York, and they're like, what'd you think of New York? And he says, well, I saw it on Spider-Man, so I know Spider-Man was here. Like, stuff like that is just awesome because it just brings people a personality. But this guy's got a chance to be really, really good from what I've seen. But I want to see once he faces a team twice, three times, mm-hmm. can he repeat this? Because eventually guys figure something out against
AJ Pierzynski on the Daily Tip, part of the BetQL network that said, and you knew AJ would latch on to Imanaga's quirky, wonderful, embracing, funny personality. So there's that. Other Cubs pitching news. The Cubs placed right-hander Yency Almonte on the 15-day disabled injured list, retroactive to May 8th, right shoulder strain, and recalled right-handed pitcher Jose Quas from Triple Eight. Why?
No.
Why? Just no. Let Pete Crow Armstrong say, I've let him pitch. I mean, oh my God, this is awful. Okay, well, that's the news. That's the news there. And there was, what else was I going to do? There was something else that had another piece of, oh, right here on the score. Danny Parkins, congratulations. He won a Peter Lissigore Award for radio reporting on the Northwestern baseball team. Lissigore Awards were held last night. And Danny won the Radio Reporting Award. Congratulations. Won that. Co-authored a book that is getting a lot of play. It's all, everything is everything for Danny Parkins. A lot of hard work there. And congratulations to him. Score family recognizes you, Danny. Good job. The best thing I saw this week, I want to share with you. You've heard me talk about Big Ed's Barbecue up in Waukegan. The best burnt ends. Me being the greatest burnt ends influencer in the nation. I would know this. The greatest burnt ends. And one of the biggest hearts, too. What happens when they chop meat is there, not everything makes it onto the sandwich or the plate or whatever it is. There's extras. There's trimmings. Or if you're in the South, they call it debris, especially in Louisiana. Debris, you order your plate, your sandwich. You want debris, and that's debris. That's what they call the trimmings, the leftovers. What Big Ed's does, saves all of it. Save all the trimmings. Saves all the debris. And they mix it in with their hamburger, their ground beef. And like that, you get some of the best hamburgers ever. But what they do on an annual basis, once a year, and it was last week, they package it up. Usually they just give it to, often they just give it to employees. Here you go. Here's 2 pounds of meat. Take this home. They had a lot. They had a big heart. To show you this, on Thanksgiving, they will offer Thanksgiving meals, complete Thanksgiving meals. You drive through. They usually do it through a church or some local outlet that can identify, has contact with needy families. So this time, Big Ed and company had so much extra trimmings and debris and meat, they gave them away to the community. It was supposed to start at 9 o'clock last Sunday. People lined up at 7 o'clock. They were there 2 hours early. I thought they were going to have to give out Cubs bracelets. And they gave out 240 pounds of ground beef mixed with trimmings to hopefully the needy and not the greedy. Hopefully it went to families who needed it, could make use, who would appreciate it. Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan. And they're moving now. Not far from where they are now, but it's a bigger space. They are, it's almost 2 o'clock, so they're probably out of burnt ends already. I'm hoping when they move to their bigger space, they will have burnt ends, enough room for burnt ends later. me and Otter went up there this week, this Wednesday, and it happened to be a catering day. They were making food for catering order of about 200 people. One thing on Big Ed's catering menu that is not on the regular menu is his fried chicken. You need to have stuff catered from Big Ed's just so you can order that fried chicken. It's unbelievable. And I also found out, if you bring him a turkey, he'll smoke it with the same seasonings, the same spices, the same way that he makes his fried chicken. So there you go. Big Ed's will give you a smoked turkey for those of you looking to plan for Thanksgiving. Big Ed's. Tomorrow's Mother's Day. Go see your mom. Failing that, call your mom. Don't text. Call. Actually, FaceTime. Do all of that on days that aren't Mother's Day. Bring your mom flowers on days that aren't Mother's Day because she's still your mom, still and always. I haven't been a mother for a while, though I was called something similar by Chairman Reinsdorf, but I've learned this by watching, listening, and living with someone. Even when you're not thinking about her, mom is thinking about you, thinking and worrying and hoping and praying, still and always. Call your mom. Thank you for coming to my Steve Talk, and thank you for coming to Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.